It's Garden Talk, hour number two at KSRO. I'm Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher, answering gardening questions at 636-1350. You can call us anytime the spirit may move you, or steve@ksro.com. If you want to shoot us an email and accompany a photo, that would be great. We'll do our best to help you this morning. Special guest today is Julie Monson. Her new book is Gardening on California's Coast. She's a local gal, lives in gardens out on the Inverness, up on the ridge out there, and the whole book is specifically tailored to those of you that face the challenges of gardening out at the coastal area. She'll be speaking at Copperfields Books in Petaluma this coming Friday. That's the 20th of April at 7 o'clock. Get a chance to meet her and preview her beautiful book. It's loaded with color illustrations, just gorgeous, many of which are from your property out in Inverness.
That's right. Huh? They're from my garden. I'm very proud of that.
And also, if you are a subscriber to Pacific Horticulture, the spring 2018 issue, which is just out, you have a featured article called A Coastal Garden Inspired by Japan, Designed from Scratch in California, with more beautiful photos. And thanks for bringing that copy in today. Oh, I have to give this back to Gwen.
I'm going to read it.
Gwen. our friend Jim Lang, who knows as much, if not more, about gardening than anyone anywhere, is doing a class next week.
He is presenting dahlias. It's a free workshop through the Master Gardener program at the Petaluma Library. So next Saturday at 10:30 until 12:30, he's going to talk about how to care for dahlias. So all those questions that we have, like when to pull them out, how to divide, how to plant, how to store, how to grow, how to do everything. Jim has all the answers.
And he had, what, 1,000 dahlias out of his property?
Oh, couple? Yeah. Yeah. And he's cut back a bit, maybe to like 500 now or so. But yeah, he grows perfect dahlias. And so he is the perfect person to talk to and to listen to about how to grow dahlias.
That's in Petaluma.
Petaluma Library next Saturday at 10:30.
Speaking of Petaluma, Lynn from Petaluma would like a word with us. Good morning, Lynn. Welcome to Garden Talk. Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks.
I have a question. I received some tulip bulbs for a gift for Easter, and they're grown in water. There's no dirt. It's just in a vase, and there's like a disc at the bottom, and there's five tulip bulbs in there, and they got roots. You know, the water comes up to the bottom of them. Anyway, they're blooming and they're almost finished now, and I want to know if I can save those bulbs.
Well,
how do I do that?
You've got a 50-50 chance that they'll make it. Okay. And I am never saying don't bother with people anymore. Remember years ago, Steve, I used to be like, oh, no, that's not going to grow. Don't waste your time. And people will go ahead and plant it anyway and surprise us. And say,
they would call back 6 months going, Gwen, yeah. Remember you told me to forget? Well, guess what, Gwen?
Yeah. Yeah. So I say, if you like the color of those tulips and you want to try and save them, when they're finished blooming and they're petering out, plant them in a container with some good potting soil.
Okay.
Don't cut the foliage back or anything. Just leave the plants alone until they're completely dead. Then you can cut off the ugly looking stuff. But keep the soil barely moist, like a wrung out sponge.
Okay.
So you don't have the bulbs, you know, get rotten or anything. Make sure it's a good planting soil, like I said, that has fertilizer mixed in it. Because when bulbs aren't growing in soil, they have all that energy that's in the bulb. It gets expended by growing the leaves and the flowers, and there are no nutrients in the water or anything to replace in the bulb. Okay, right. So basically the bulb's starving. So if you can just do what I say and put it in a good planting soil, maybe add a little bit of organic fertilizer. That couldn't help.
Okay.
Plant them at the height that you're supposed to. Okay?
Okay.
You know, don't have the foliage underground. Just plant it, you know, where the bulb is under the soil and the leaves are above the ground.
Okay?
Okay. Keep them in a more than sunny than shady spot.
Okay?
And then next year, you'll probably get a lot of greenery, or you might not get anything at all. And then, you know, they didn't make
they
it.
They
just
make it. Yeah.
They petered out. But if you do get some greenery, just keep the soil barely moist. Keep it in full sun. The following year, you might get some flowers.
Wow. Okay.
So if you want to wait that long and if you want to go through all that, then that's great. I mean, it's, you know, it's not that difficult to do.
Right.
So, but otherwise, you could just toss them when they're done.
Okay. Do you have time for one more question?
Sure.
Sure.
similar. I got an Easter lily last year, and I didn't do anything with it. I just put it outside in the same pot it came in, and I'll be darned if it didn't bloom this year.
See? There's a good example.
No, it's not supposed to, though.
Yeah. Okay.
So now I want to know, what should I repot it? It's kind of dead now. I don't know, you know, what to do with it.
I would transplant it in a little bit bigger pot.
Okay.
Okay? When you pull the plant out, knock off any soil that's just going to fall off. Okay. And then you have some fresh soil that you're going to replant it in, because that soil is probably running out of nutrients and there won't be much for the plant to eat for the next year. And then keep it someplace outside where it'll get some morning sunlight and then afternoon shade, or filtered sunlight all day long. Okay. And again, keep the soil like a wrung out sponge. Don't overwater it. And then I put it in a protected spot over winter.
Okay.
Somewhere where it won't get rained on all the time, because you're trying to keep the soil consistently damp, not soaking wet in case we get a lot of rain. Put it under cover someplace. And then early in the spring, bring it out, put it in some, you know, more sun than shade. And then hopefully you'll see some new greenery and it'll bloom again for you.
Okay.
So
it's not totally dead. Should I wait till it's all died back, or
I
do it now?
Yeah, I would wait till it's completely died back, because right now those roots are taking up whatever nutrients are still in the soil. The leaves are putting energy into the bulbs. They're from, you know, bulbs are in there. So let it do its thing and then let it go completely dormant before you go ahead and disturb it.
Okay.
All right.
Like I might have a nice little bulb garden growing next year.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully.
And then you're going to call us back in a few months, or, you know, at least by next year, and let us know, oh, those tulips are beautiful and the Easter lily is the biggest it's ever been. So.
Thanks, Lynn.
I hope so.
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our pleasure talking with you. In chapter number 2 of your book, Gardening with Natives, talk about gardening with natives up on the Inverness Ridge, some of your favorite plants.
Well, some of my favorite ones are the natives that just grow right in the woods, right on the Inverness Ridge, and like huckleberries.
Oh, yeah.
I've even planted buckeyes, and then some, the ferns. We get volunteer sword ferns, but I've planted other ferns that are native to the ridge. There's really ceanothus, some trees. They're beautiful.
The native ceanothus.
Right, yeah. Those are the things I've mostly, there are some others I'm trying to think, Mahonia. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed that.
Toyon, probably?
Don't grow toyon. I love it. I think it's a beautiful plant, and it's not native on the Inverness Ridge. Mm. I think it might need a little more warm and sun than my site.
It seems like you were wild for Fremantia.
And I like Fremantia. I have quite a bit. I am less enthusiastic than I was, because I discovered that the deer, no matter what, still like it. Mm. So that you have to either protect it or wait until it grows above where the deer can manage to eat it. Mm-hmm. But it's just one of my most favorite, beautiful native plants. I love it.
And you were
and iris. I do iris.
Oh, iris. And you were surprised by the spectacular bloom of columbine.
I found that the deer will nibble off the flowers if I plant columbine outside my courtyard. I planted a lot when we first moved in, but it was sad to discover that as soon as it bloomed, they're little. And the same is true with bleeding hearts. I have those volunteering, and they are just lovely right now. But then the deer come in, and they just bite off the little flowers. It's just awful.
So, what about the native coral bells?
And I do have those, and the deer will eat the, they don't eat the foliage, but they like the flowers. So I have some coral bells within the courtyard, and they do very well. I like them. And they're basically attractive all year long. Mm-hmm. The foliage is nice, and they're managed in a nice little spot of color when they start to bloom. They just started now in the spring.
What was the plant that was not Spanish moss?
Oh, usnea.
Usnea. Do that grow around here?
Yeah, in certain microclimates.
Yeah,
in shade.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm
in
not
damp
sure.
areas.
I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly. It might be usnea.
Usnea. That sounds
better. I had to learn about it. At first, I thought it was Spanish moss, but then I did some more research, just learned that it is not.
It looks very similar to it.
It looks very similar.
Like if you would know, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
I don't.
No, I was going to say, it can be harmful, can it?
No, it's not harmful. It's not that you see it on a plant, and it's not that it's killing the plant or damaging it. It's that it's growing because the plant, the lower branches, get a little bit too much sun, and then it's kind of spreads, kind of blown by the wind. I see the wind just blowing little wisps of it through the air off the big trees and onto my garden, and I try to keep it pretty much picked out of there.
If you have questions about gardening coastally, if you're a coastally challenged gardener, this would be a perfect opportunity to chat with Julie Monson. Her new book is Gardening on California's Coast. She gardens out in beautiful West Marin up at the Inverness Ridge. She's our guest this special hour. We're taking calls on any gardening questions, as always, 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com. No one on hold. Could get right in with question or questions.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio 103.5 94.5 KSRO.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market. You'll find garden starts from La Vida Buena Nursery. Savor farm fresh eggs and produce like fresh strawberries, avocados, and Humble Roots organic sprouts. Enjoy farm-to-table almonds, walnuts, and healthy salad greens. Discover quality beef, pork, fresh seafood, and freshly made sausages. Multiple food vendors are serving up an excellent breakfast and lunch using farm fresh products. Minhee's Korean cuisine, Eli's authentic Mexican food, Mi Fiesta's fresh tamales, and a whole lot more. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one, the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Okay, take one.
Have you seen her? Those who have revel in her beauty and her hightitude.
That's not a word.
She's grown hundreds of feet along West College Avenue to become the longest, fastest, and yes, tallest of her kind. Children weep and call out, "Oh, Mommy, it's the big soapy beast."
No, they haven't.
But fear not, you little rugrats. Splash Express Car Wash opens this May on West College Avenue. Our second location is larger, taller, and faster than ever. Over 50% more vacuums means no more waiting for those slowpokes who just love cleaning and sucking away. Splash Express makes cars cleaner, tires shinier, spouses happier, and kids, well, they'll still call it the soapy beast.
The second location of the world-famous Splash Express Car Wash opens next month at 458 West College Avenue. Just go to splashexpress.com for more details.
Splash Express, rub-a-dub-dub.
If you love ice cream like we love ice cream, you've got to love Cold Stone Creamery. And now you can get a $50 gift certificate for only $25 at mySonomaDeals.com. We make our rich, super creamy ice cream fresh in every store every day. To create the ultimate ice cream experience, now for half off, get your $50 gift certificate for only $25 at mySonomaDeals.com. While you're there, check out other half-off deals for places like Lupe's Diner and Carter House Inns. That's mySonomaDeals.com.
For over 80 years, George Peterson Insurance has been protecting Northern California, helping businesses and individuals get the right coverage for their needs. George Peterson Insurance continues to grow their employer resources and services in the North Bay. So if you or your company needs personal insurance, business insurance, or help with employee benefits, George Peterson Insurance is committed to this promise. We've got your back. George Peterson Insurance Agency at gpins.com. License number 0603247.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, everyone. Glad you're with us on this gorgeous Saturday, mid-70s today. A little bit of rain moving in Sunday and Monday, which is always nice, according to the weatherman, which would be okay by me. The new book by Julie Monson is Gardening on California's Coast. It's her first book. She'll be talking about her book this coming Friday at Copperfield's Books in Petaluma at 7 o'clock. Free talk, and you can talk to her about your gardening issues both coastally and in more inland also. I'm sure she's experienced with that too. And you can purchase a copy of this beautiful brand new book. Natives that maybe are in full bloom now, what looks good in your garden now?
Oh, what really looks spectacular is my dogwood. It's now maybe 25 feet tall, branched out, and just covered with these gorgeous white flowers. It's just so pretty. And next to it, I have a hedge of Choicea ternata, which is just about to bloom. And the combination of all this white in the garden next to the trees and everything else, it's really lovely.
The Choicea was in your chapter, Reliable Plants.
Oh, yes. I've found that it's totally reliable. I've almost planted too much of it because it does well in the sunny places and shady places. It gets nice. A little rangy from time, so you can cut it back and it doesn't
mind. And it's evergreen, isn't it?
Evergreen. Mm-hmm. And when it blooms, the little white flowers are slightly fragrant. They're really sweet. And it makes wonderful flower arrangements. I bring a few branches in, and then they can sort of serve as a base for other flowers that you might want to bring in from the garden.
Very nice.
Can you keep it
under control? What's the smallest you could potentially keep that plant?
I would say maybe 4 or 5 feet tall and maybe 3 feet wide.
So you need a little bit of space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. It wants to be a little bigger, but I found it doesn't mind being trimmed back. And that works.
From Petaluma, Steve, good morning and welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. What can we do for you this morning? Hi.
Well, I've got a Fuyu persimmon tree that we've had in the ground for about 2.5 years, and it's leafing out, and the leaves are kind of yellow. And I'm wondering if that's a normal for that tree or if I should be giving it something special.
How's your soil that it's been growing in?
It's a sandy soil.
Okay.
From West Petaluma.
Okay. So, I mean, a light green is okay, but when you're saying yellow, then that's telling me that there is some nitrogen missing. You could go ahead and put a whole bunch of organic matter on top of the soil. I'd go like 4 to 6 inches and put it under the drip line of the tree and keep a few inches away from the trunk of the tree so you don't cover the trunk with any compost. It's going to take a while for that to kick in. That's an organic way to go. You can find an organic fertilizer, a granular fertilizer. The numbers will be really low on organic fertilizers. So a lot of times you see triple 10, 10, 10, 10, 16, 16, 16, all those high numbers. And those are synthetically made fertilizers. And, we're trying to get away from the use of synthetic fertilizers and go with more organic and natural fertilizers. So if you go with an organic granular fertilizer, you might as well add, the phosphorus and the potassium that's also in the fertilizer. Maybe some other micronutrients and stuff would be in there too. So, I'm thinking like maybe you'd see something like 6.75 or 7.54 or whatever those low numbers are. But as long as it's an organic granular fertilizer. You can make a trench around just inside the drip line of the tree. Get a hoe or a shovel or something. Make a little moat, I should say, a moat around the tree. Sprinkle the fertilizer in there. Water it in really well. Put your organic matter on top of the soil there, and that will start to break down and add some nitrogen faster than the compost will. But then later on, when that organic fertilizer kind of peters out, your compost material hopefully will decompose enough, and then as you're watering the tree over time, that'll break down and that'll add some nitrogen, and keep the compost on top of the soil. It'll start to disappear, and then you can add more. And as long as you cover your soil with any kind of organic material, then you're calling it mulch. So you're putting this mulch on top of the soil. So that will break down and slowly but surely keep adding nutrients to the soil to help green up your tree. So to make a long story short, does that make sense?
There are some suckers coming up from the bottom of the rootstock that are greener than the leaves on the tree.
Coming from the base of the tree or coming?
Yeah. They're like suckers coming up from the, you know, the very, very bottom.
Okay, well, those are shorter. The root system sends up all the nutrients to the leaves. So those leaves are only like, what, a couple feet off the ground compared to the...
Not even that. They're right at ground level.
Okay. So that's where the food is going first to those guys by the time it goes up the trunk and then up the branches and to the leaves. So those little guys are robbing a lot of the nitrogen. And you should cut those off anyway. You don't want your fruit trees suckering.
Right. Okay.
Well, so be patient, though, because it is going to take a little while for that fertilizer to kick in. But if you do that moat, you put the fertilizer in there, follow the directions, water it in really well. With this warm temperature, that'll get it to break down faster and be available to the tree.
How about horse manure? Would that work?
That could be what you put on top of the ground as your organic matter. But that's going to take forever to work. But if you have it, put that on there and keep putting it on there. And then as time goes on, it'll break down. And then slowly that starts adding all those nutrients to the soil. But it's going to take a long time for that to happen. So that's why you need it. You need something now for that tree. So the fertilizer that you have to buy is going to work a lot faster.
Okay.
Because if you don't do something sooner or later, when it gets to be 80, 90 degrees and those leaves are yellow, then you're going to start having some burning problems. They're going to get sunburned real easily.
I see. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome.
Good talking with you, Steve of Petaluma. This is Steve of Santa Rosa and Gwen of Santa Rosa and Julie of Inverness Ridge in Marin County. Her new book is just, how long has this book been out?
About a year.
One year.
Yeah.
Gardening on California's Coast, Julie Monson. And is this your first public appearance at Copperfields?
Yes, I did have one at Book Passage a while ago, and also Point Reyes Books, uh-huh. and my hometown bookstore.
Good. And this is going to be the Copperfields in Petaluma, 7 o'clock on the 20th of April. You can meet Julie and find out more of the insider's knowledge about gardening along the California coast. So we've got up to reliable favorites. The choice here was one. What other?
Ceanothus.
Ceanothus is a big one.
Yeah.
Other ones are hydrangeas. No, not so much.
I want to know about ground covers, you know, to put in between stepping stones, because you have a lot of pathways in your garden. And so what are some of your favorites?
I really struggled with that because I was trying to duplicate to some degree a Japanese inspiration in the garden, and they use a lot of moss. So Blue Star Creeper was one that I found worked pretty well, especially when it was sunnier in the garden before the trees really got big. That worked well. But then it turns out that the moss actually did find my garden, and without my planting it, it appeared. And it's as long as I keep it from drying out in the summer, I have to do that. It looks really well. I'm interested in other kinds of ground covers, and so I use some of the the bigger ones, some of the creeping ceanothus. Mm-hmm. That works sort of well, pretty well. So I'm interested in ground covers. It's a little tricky to find ones that the deer don't like. But when I did find, I'm struggling with, anyway, if I think of the name, I'll give it to you.
Margaret from beautiful Santa Rosa, California. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, good morning. I have a question. Do you need to spray plum trees like you do peaches and nectarines?
Only if you had a problem with this shot hole fungus or a bacterial blast that they get. Were your plum trees looking good last year? Nice green, healthy leaves, fruiting, everything was good?
Yeah.
Okay, then no need to spray anything.
Okay.
The less spraying... Sorry?
The leaves are kind of looking like they're peach leaf curl almost.
Take a look at some of those curly leaves and get a magnifying glass and uncurl the leaves and look underneath in there and see if you find aphids.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you, I mean, you might see a few of them in there. And then they, if you don't see any, do the tips of the branches look like they're dying back also? Because that could be a disease that the plant has, and you might as well just cut those pieces out. I would kind of disinfect your pruners at each cut, but you'll see the leaves are curling up. The branches look like they're starting to die back. That's something then you can spray for in the wintertime. But if you don't see that and you do see the aphids, well, invite the ladybugs and the lacewings and the soldier beetles and everybody to come in and help eat them up.
Or she could do the soap spray also, right?
It's hard to spray because they curl, the leaves are curled. So it acts like an umbrella. And you know, and then who wants to make sure you get spray in each of the leaves? So what if it's really, really bad, you could just get a brown bag or something and put it over that branch and cut the branch and let the twig fall into the bag. That way all the aphids are going to fall into that bag instead of you just holding on to the branch, cutting it, and then throwing it in the garbage where a lot of the aphids could fall out and then they'll attack your tree again. So I like to just get as many aphids as I can, knowing that they're falling in that brown bag, and then I toss it out in the garbage.
Okay.
But you need the magnifying glass to look for those aphids because... You know, I've noticed my eyes aren't as good as they used to be, and I go, there's no aphids in here.
I knew. I couldn't really see any. I couldn't see any bugs at all, actually. But last week you were talking about aphids on roses and ants and stuff, mm-hmm. and you spray soapy water on them.
Mm-hmm. That's because those leaves are easy to spray. I mean, you can get a...
Is that
what?
You're breaking up. We might have lost you. Are you still there? Okay.
She had call back, Margaret.
Call back, Margaret. We've lost you, but good timing because we need to take a break for the bottom of the news hour. Back with Garden Talk at KSRO. Following this, Julie Munson and the KSRO Greenhouse, her new book, Gardening on California's Coast. Oh, did I mention one of you will win an autographed copy of this book at the end of the show? All you need to do is get in with a question or comment the next half hour or so, and we'll draw a name at random shortly before 11 today. In the kitchen at 11:05, Chef John Ash, really terrific show. We'll be tasting papado cheese from Bellwether Farms down in Petaluma in honor of National Raw Milk Cheese Day, which is today. We'll also be talking to Denise Clifton, who wrote the book From the Rubble, The Restaurants That Survived the San Francisco Earthquake of 1906, and super pastry chef Isabel Mazot, who just won the sweepstakes at the Art of Dessert competition last week here in Santa Rosa. 23 pastry chefs vied for the best of show. She won. We'll introduce you to Isabel Mazot during the Good Food Hour today.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
No one likes to live with the mess and inconvenience of home improvement projects. That's why Milgard makes it so easy for you to replace your old, drafty, hard-to-open windows. Often it takes less than a day to improve the look and value of your home with reliable, energy-efficient Milgard replacement windows. Milgard's dependable delivery means you get the right windows at the right time. And because most jobs use your existing frames and openings, it minimizes the mess. Plus, you don't have to worry about disposing of your old windows. Milgard makes it easy to get home improvement done. Call DJ's Sash and Glass today for Milgard Windows. DJ's can furnish and install a variety of shower door enclosures too. Add a touch of class to your glass with DJ's Sash and Glass. 2985 Wilton Court. Call 546-7344 and online at djsglass.com.
Hi, I'm former State Senator Noreen Evans. I'm proud to be part of a legal team representing over 700 of our neighbors in the lawsuit against PG&E for the October wildfires. Our team believes that representing you is about more than just filing a lawsuit. We provide our clients with resources to help rebuild and recover. Whether it's informational workshops on recovery issues or helping with insurance claims, we believe in putting our clients first, in and out of the courtroom. To learn more and join the hundreds who have taken action, visit our website at pgelawsuit.com or call us at 707-237-2445. We hold town hall meetings twice a week at our offices located at 70 Stony Point Road, Suite A, Santa Rosa. Our next town hall meetings are Thursday, April 19th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. and Saturday, April 21st from 10 to 11:30 a.m. We hope to see you there.
John Cox of the Law Offices of John Cox is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Proud members of the Dub Nation, Drs. J.T. Henley and John Mann welcome you to Henley Mann DDS in Rohnert Park, offering all aspects of dentistry for three generations of Sonoma County families.
Featuring the latest technology combined with extensive knowledge and state-of-the-art equipment. Need a second opinion? They've been in practice for more than 30 years. There's not much they haven't seen or done in dentistry. Are you nervous? No problem. They offer sedation dentistry.
Doctors Henley and Mann take care of the whole family, from kids to grandparents. Whatever you need, cosmetic dentistry to surgical extractions and implants, your dental situation will be diagnosed honestly and with integrity. You'll be offered fair fees for service with financing available.
With a special place in their hearts for veterans, having both served our country in the military, they invite you to look them up online at jthenleydds.com and johnmanndds.com.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you encounter a down power line, you need to stay away from it. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. PG&E will make the scene safe.
Ambassador to the United Nations with a warning to Syria, the U.S.-led response to a suspected chemical attack on civilians by Bashar al-Assad's regime did exactly what it intended to.
Our message was crystal clear. The United States of America will not allow the Assad regime to continue to use chemical weapons.
Nikki Haley's comments at today's emergency session of the UN Security Council just moments ago. The council rejected a Russian resolution condemning the airstrikes by the U.S. and its allies. President Trump tweeting, "Mission accomplished," thanking the U.K. and France for their assistance. The Pentagon agrees, calling the strikes precise, overwhelming, and effective. And when asked about possible retaliation, this is what the Joint Staff Director, Lieutenant General Kenneth McKenzie, had to say.
We're ready for it. We're postured both in the region and globally. We're on the balls of our feet, and we're ready for anything.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
A couple of light rainy days after today. Sunny skies for Saturday at 72, 61 on the coast. A few clouds tonight, low 45 inland and on the shores. Some rain for tomorrow at 58, 53 in Bodega Bay. Occasional showers for Monday at 56, 52 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
We are once again open for Garden Talk Business, 636-1350. Or Steve at KSRO if you have a gardening question. And it could address, of course, any coastal gardening questions you might have to Julie Monson, our special guest today in the kitchen and the studio and the greenhouse. Gardening on California's Coast, that is her new book. And hope you'll be able to check her out on the 20th of April down at Copperfields in Petaluma at 7 o'clock. Well, she'll be doing a book signing and a talk. So we've got down to the reliable favorites chapter of the book, and she's given us a few of her favorites. Did you have any more favorites that you wanted to add in that chapter?
I'll just mention a couple that seem to work pretty well. One is Agapanthus, and it's a very, very common plant. And I mention that to my fellow gardeners, and they make a frown because it's so common. I mean, you see it in shopping center parking lots and places like that. But I really do like it. And I think it's easy and it can be extremely effective in your garden if you plant several close together and get a nice blue flowering patch for a while. The other one that's, you know, so common is calla lily. And I think it's another one of those very common plants that if planted and effectively in certain places. I have a little row of it by my garage. It's really pretty, and I don't turn my nose up at very, very common plants. I find there's a place for them. They're easy to use and reliable.
Do you have other colors besides white, or are you just talking about the white one?
My friend who grows dahlias gave me some pink ones, and they're gorgeous, and I have a little row of those as well. Mm-hmm. They come up later. Yeah.
The next chapter is the trees, and of course we know your infatuation with maples.
Right.
You also mentioned ginkgo.
Yes, I have a beautiful ginkgo. It's now maybe 15 years old, and it's not quite leafed out yet, but it's coming. It's very pretty, and as we all know, in the fall, it begins to turn this almost bright yellow. It's just stunning, and then all of a sudden there's a cold snap or something, and the leaves all fall at once and make a carpet on the ground. Mm-hmm. So it's one of my favorite trees, and I have it in a place where it's right by the front where people see it when they're coming into our house, and it's really done very well. And then it's the branches come. You can prune them so that there's a bit of space under them for a nice little understory of ferns and some other shady plants that I've put in there. And it's very attractive.
We have a ginkgo in our front yard. It's about 35 feet tall, about 30 years old, and it's the tree we look forward to every single year.
Right.
It's so beautiful, just spectacular.
I have three of them. Actually, one of them I never really paid attention to because it was in the far back part of the garden. And I had blackberry vines that were taking over that area and a wild grapevine. Well, I looked at this tree a few months ago, and it's growing on a diagonal because the grapevine and the blackberry vines had grown up in the tree and came over it and was pulling this tree.
Oh, my.
Down. And so I'm looking at this tree going, I thought it was falling over. Until I saw all these brambles and everything in there and went, oh, my gosh. So I think it's a done deal. But this weekend, I'm going to get out there and cut all that stuff off of it.
Good morning, Dodie. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Hi, Dodie.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question.
Sure.
I have a vegetable box, 4x8, and we have kitchen waste compost that's ready. But this is the first time we've used it, and I don't know if I should spread it over the entire box or incorporate it as I plant each plant, or do I incorporate it into the soil as a whole?
So you have the stuff from a compost pile?
Yes.
From kitchen collections?
Waste.
Okay, in the compost pile, it's broken down, it's ready to go?
Yes.
Okay, I would take all of it and spread it on top of the box,
uh-huh.
on top of the soil, and then just work it into the soil and then plant.
And when is the usual time, say, normally speaking, for doing this? Is there one time that's better than another?
No, you can add compost or organic matter to the soil any time of the year, as long as there's nothing that you're going to be, nothing there that you're going to be incorporating this into the soil and then disturbing roots of some plants. But okay. If it's nice composting material, you could just put it on top of the ground and it's, you know, in between your plants, and they call that side dressing, you're putting it on as like a mulch. So you're covering up your soil and it'll break down. It'll probably get crusty and whatnot. But if you could dig a little hole with a trowel and put a little trowel full in the soil and then put your soil on top of it, that's what I would do instead of leaving it on top of the ground.
Yeah, because you'll attract pests.
Right. No, because it's all, nah.
I think you still will. I'd bury it a little bit. I would.
Well, it's all composted, she said.
Oh, completely. Yeah. Well, it's completely composted. Oh, okay.
But even if it wasn't complete, whether it's completely composted or not, if you have a small little box like this, a 4x8 bed, I would just take a trowel, dig a hole near your plant, put a little handful or so of that stuff in there, and then throw the soil on top of it and bury it. That way it's in the ground, closer to the roots, mm-hmm. breaks down, yep. and the roots, it's right there.
Okay. Well, great. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
Sure.
I have two Brunfelsia plants, and they're in big containers. Yeah, when is a good time to prune them?
Say the name of the plant again?
Yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Brunfelsia. Okay. Yeah. I'd probably wait until the dead of winter.
Mm-hmm.
In the summertime, you know, if you see branches that are out of control or if you want to keep kind of a shape of a plant, you can do some selective pruning any time of the year. But you don't want to cut too much of that plant off. Don't cut more than a third of the plant, you know, during the wintertime. It just doesn't need a lot of pruning. And then you kind of change the shape. Mm-hmm. If you could just let it grow naturally, it looks mm-hmm. so much better than if you're pruning it, trying to shape it. And so there's really no reason to prune it unless you have to.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we were just trying to maintain a certain size.
Okay, then do some selective pruning now, but, you know, if you have to. Otherwise, if you can wait until next winter, wait until then.
Is there more than one kind of plant? These two plants are on either side of a small balcony, but their leaves look so different.
There might be a hybrid variety of that one that had come out a long time ago, but being that I'm out of the nursery business, I don't know. I wonder if the Western Garden Book would have it. But are they in two completely different growing conditions? One's getting more sun and the other's getting more shade?
Yes.
Okay, that's why.
Okay.
There you go.
Right.
The leaves and the ones that are in the sun, or leaves are bigger compared
yes.
to, yeah, okay.
Okay, I thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thanks for the call. We have yesterday, today, and tomorrow in our backyard with Felsia. It's a beautiful plant.
Yeah.
And we just let it kind of go where it wants to
yeah.
go.
Yeah. But if she wants to maintain the size, then a little selective pruning now and then is not going to hurt.
Linda, you and your ranunculus coming up next on Garden Talk Live at KSRO.
Weather every 10 minutes mornings, every 30 minutes all the time on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 FM and 94.5 FM, KSRO.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market. You'll find garden starts from La Vida Buena Nursery, savor farm fresh eggs and produce like fresh strawberries, avocados, and Humble Roots organic sprouts. Enjoy farm-to-table almonds, walnuts, and healthy salad greens. Discover quality beef, pork, fresh seafood, and freshly made sausages. Multiple food vendors are serving up an excellent breakfast and lunch using farm fresh products. Minhee's Korean cuisine, Eli's authentic Mexican food, Mi Fiesta's fresh tamales, and a whole lot more. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one, the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
The Rodney Strong Summer Concert Series, presented by Montgomery Village, is excited to announce the 2018 season. This year's sensational lineup kicks off July 8th with one of the world's most distinctive singing voices, Michael McDonald. The series continues July 22nd with multiple Grammy Award winner Melissa Etheridge. On
August 26th, it's two spectacular performances in one night with The Temptations and The Four Tops. The 2018 series concludes September 9th with world-renowned touring artist Vaz Skaggs. Enjoy exceptional wine and great music all summer long at the intimate setting of the Concert Green at Rodney Strong Vineyards. For more information and to purchase tickets online, visit RodneyStrongConcertSeries.com or visit the tasting room at Rodney Strong Vineyards. The Rodney Strong Summer Concert Series is presented by Montgomery Village. Buy your tickets today.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
A middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI, because not everybody experiences EPI the same way. Which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable, so don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com, complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit identifyepi.com. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Chapter 5 of your book, Julie, is the challenges of growing in shade. What did you learn being a gardener out there in 20 years in Inverness?
Well, when I first planted the garden, I was very excited to have this chance to plant a lot of trees. I started the garden. It was just nothing but dirt. So I didn't have anything to start with. Most people, you move into a house and there's some landscaping already there. This had none. And I planted maples and a large number of them. And let me think of some of the and the other trees. But let me just talk about the maples because they have shallow roots. They provide, when they get pretty big, copious shade. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've learned to do is to try pruning them, especially after all the leaves come out, but judiciously near the top to open up patches that are clear for the sun to come through and to light the understory, which needs the sun. But let me go back to the shade and the fact that something like maples have roots that are very near the surface, and they really don't like to dry out. They don't want to be wet soil, but they don't like to dry out. So then you have the problem. In the beginning, when I planted the maples, I planted a lot of azaleas underneath them and some Nandina. Another one of my favorites is Nandina. And they've done well, but they were all planted at the same time, so they each grabbed their own space of soil that they needed to grow and be healthy. But once they were all grown, if I try to go out there now, it's hard to dig a hole. The ground is filled with roots. So what I've done is, because we're on a slope, I can do a little building up a little wall and raise the soil level. But not up to the trunk of the tree itself, mm-hmm. but enough so that I can plant a gallon plant. And that I've been able to do successfully with some azaleas and some ferns and things under the shade. But you have to remember in planting trees that eventually, if they are the kind that provide shade, that's going to make it be a challenge to what you can plant underneath them, and especially under oaks because they don't like to be watered mm-hmm. underneath them.
So a lot to consider.
A lot to
consider. Linda from Santa Rosa, welcome to the show. A question about ranunculus?
Yes, I do. I recently got a ranuncula plant for a birthday gift, and I want to know, now that it's finished doing its blooming, how do I plant it, or are they bulbs, or what are they?
They're little bulbs, and wait for it to die down completely, or you know, I guess it couldn't hurt at this point since it's almost half gone, is to pick a sunny spot in the yard with good soil, good draining soil, and plant it. Just pull it out of the pot, loosen the soil a bit, stick it in the ground, give it a good drink of water. And every once in a while, you can give it some water, but it's a early spring blooming bulb, and it's not going to do anything in the summer, but put a little stick there so you remember that plant is there, so you'll know what's coming up next year, and you won't think it's a weed because it has that funny-looking celery-like leaves that you might think it's a weed and go ahead and pull it out. So, or you can put it in a container and put it on the sunny deck someplace.
Does that help?
Absolutely. And also, thank you for the... I heard you talking to the lady about the tulip bulb in a vase. I got one of those, too, and now I know what to do with it.
Oh, good. Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Okay, have a great day.
Okay,
bye.
We'll give away a book right after this.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Fantastic. Terrific. Excellent. Tantalizing. Best ever. Amazing. Delicious. Incredible. Delightful. Wonderful. Delectable. Scrumptious. Simply awesome.
Not just a description, but an experience. La Vera Pizza is a culmination of culinary delight that you'll never forget. Tempt yourself with the taste of La Vera Pizza's artisan pizzas, like our Spicy Spesto, Mushroom Mania, or national award-winning pizza, the Prima. And you'll also love La Vera Pizza's exquisite entrees, like our luscious lasagna, captivating calzone, and our ravishing ravioli. Old world taste brought to a new level of description. La Vera Pizza.
Positively palate provocative perfection.
Find out for yourself at La Vera Pizza in downtown Santa Rosa. Open every day. Call 575-1113. La Vera Pizza.
Beyond description.
I'm John Russos. The Santa Rosa office of my firm, Cutter Law, is working with victims of the North Bay fires. If you're a fire victim, bring in your insurance policy for a free consultation. Then we will take action on your behalf against the company that caused the fire that took your home. The hardest part for people is knowing where to start. You have a mountain in front of you. You've lost everything that you ever had, and you got to figure out where you're going to take this mountain on. Is it with the personal property? How do you even put together a spreadsheet, a table, a list of everything that you used to have? You need somebody who's been through this before and somebody that can have your back and also tell you when people are doing the right thing. There's nothing like having somebody that's been through it before to help you figure out how to get through it on your own. Contact our Santa Rosa office for a free consultation. Call Cutter Law Santa Rosa at 306-0540. Call 306-0540. We can help.
Stan Klaus, Crandall Roofing here, reminding you that not all roofs are built the same. You know, as consumers, we're used to buying a ready-made product off the shelf or out of the showroom. We expect that the product will be inspected at the factory and that one model is like all the other models of its kind. Problem with this thinking is roofs are not assembled at the factory. Roofs are shipped to your site in pieces, and then the pieces are custom assembled to fit your home. And every home is a little different. How all those thousands of parts are installed is critical to how well the roof holds out water initially and how long the roof lasts. So if you're thinking of re-roofing soon, why not hire a company that's factory certified, fully licensed and insured, with thousands of satisfied customers in Sonoma and Marin County? In short, why not just call Crandall Roofing for all your roofing needs? You can reach us at 586-2500. That's 586-2500. Or find us at CrandallRoofing.com.
Crandall Roofing is a diamond certified roofing company.
So, Julie, I'm going to ask you your favorite number today between 1 and 7.
I chose 4.
Caller number 4, Steve from Petaluma, who called about the Fuyu persimmon. You've won an autographed copy of Gardening on California's Coast with Julie Monson. And you can pick that up at the radio station, 8:30 to 5, Monday through Friday. Join Julie this coming Friday in Petaluma at the Copperfields Bookstore for a book signing and talk. That's at 7 p.m. It was wonderful meeting you, and thank you for coming in from Inverness Ridge to sit in with us on Garden Talk today.
I've really enjoyed this, and I've learned a lot from your answers, Gwen, to all these wonderful questions. It's
Thank
been
you.
Lovely.
Thanks, and good luck with the book. We hope
Thank
to
you.
See you again.